The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by the Vacation Planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And if you want top-notch service and the best value for your vacation dollar, visit them at MEI-travel.com or MouseFanTravel.com. Also brought to you by All-Star Vacation Homes, who offer you the highest quality in either a vacation home or condo. Hospitality has a new name, and it's All-Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, this is Kimberly from Kensington, Connecticut, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 178 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WW Today, and with me on the show is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Okay. We're into June, and I think we've got a half marathon coming down the pipe, and I'm not sure if I'm ready, but we'll see what happens.
We're going to do the best we can. We're going to be running with some Mickey Milers, Jennifer Teague von Hoffman, and also Kimberly Marcus Torrey will be there. And in honor of Jennifer Teague von Hoffman's run of the half marathon, my shout-out today is somebody from Canada, and Jennifer will appreciate that. She's not from Canada, but she knows what I mean when I give a shout-out to Natalie St. Martin. She's from Ottawa, and I love it that we have Canadian listeners. And she is doing the Ottawa Marathon 10K. So it's interesting that they call it a Marathon 10K. It must be a race weekend, but congratulations, Natalie. Hope you had a good race. We want to see your bling.
Congratulations. And speaking of bling, which isn't related to the show, we are, I don't know. Let me start again. Congratulations. And we want to do some questions. We are trying to catch up on all the questions, so we're trying to wrap up the questions we have in our queue right now.
And I want to encourage people to keep on sending questions too, right?
The questions, because the questions can sometimes spawn a topic show and mm-hmm. give us an idea as to who to bring on to talk about it, get some experts. And so please send in those questions. And with that, Michelle, why don't you read the first one?
Sure. The first one is from Arlene Hatcher Dove, and she says, how do I purchase a Mickey Miles t-shirt? What is the price? It's a great question. Actually, we have a Cafe Press store, and the proceeds from the t-shirts, only a very little tiny bit, support the Mickey Miles Podcast. So if you want to support us, it's a great way to do that. Just a plain t-shirt is $17.99, but we also have all sorts of other things. You can get long sleeve shirts, you can get running shirts, you can get sweatshirts, all sorts of fun little things, mugs, caps. And to get there, you're going to go to www.cafepress.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. Now, I assume that Arlene is not talking about the shirts for the Mickey Milers running team. If you are on the Mickey Milers, you want to go to the Facebook page and click on the link there, and that will tell you how to order one of those. But for the regular podcast logo, it's on Cafe Press. Okay, Mike has a few.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think I need to order another one because I think one of the collars has got a little stain on it.
Uh-oh.
Anyways,
yeah. Uh-oh.
The next question comes from Maureen Kramp. Oh, let me say that again. It comes from Maureen Kraft Stelmark. And she has a very interesting question, Michelle. I'd like to spend a little time discussing it. She says she would love to hear thoughts about training for her first marathon. But here's the key. She says, it's known for being a fast downhill course. Should I consider changing intervals to enjoy them or stick with a steady pace? What do you think?
It's really interesting because the Boston Marathon is known for being a downhill course too. And somebody actually recommended to me that I really take it easy. A veteran Boston Marathoner said, your quads are going to kill you the next day if you don't take it easy. And just because of the heat, we were all forced to take it easy, and my quads still kill the next day. So I think personally that your first marathon is about getting through your first marathon. And I would not – anything that you do is a PR. And I would make sure that you've done your long runs and you've done your training. But I think that I would change – personally, I would change intervals and enjoy the race just for the first time, because you just want to get to the start and get to the finish and make sure that you're okay. It's, you know, it can be quite a punishment on your body. So that's what I would say to do. What do you think, Mike?
Well, Maureen, one of the things we've always talked about is pacing yourself, being very careful, making sure that you have enough in the tank so that you can finish your race. Now, this is your first marathon, and you're going to be excited, and the adrenaline's going to be flowing, and it'll be very, very easy to take off too fast. Not to mention that if it's a downhill, if it's downhill for the first large chunk of the race, then that's we're talking double indemnity here. We have to be very, very, very careful. So my suggestion would be to establish your pace, figure out what you're going to do for a pace, and stick with it early on. You really will need to fight the temptation to just let it go. I know that when we talk about the Boston Marathon, talked with Eddie McCoy about after he ran it, and he said that his legs kind of gave out on him right around mile 12 or 13, and I have to think that it had a lot to do with the first 10K of the race, where it was downhill, and Eddie being fast, a very smart runner, but not experienced with the Boston course, probably fell victim to that. So don't fall victim to that slope. Take it easy. You're going to need a lot of energy. So make sure that you pace yourself and make sure that you're okay. So good luck, and let us know how you make out. Michelle, next one.
All right. Our next one is from Mark Birchfield, and he says, I see in various running magazines and podcasts about race paces for the 5K and 10K races. Shouldn't I try to do both at the same pace? What exactly are they talking about, and how do I calculate mine? Mike, I know we were talking about this ahead of the podcast. You thought this was a really interesting question, so why don't you tackle this one?
So, Mark, don't pay attention to anything that you read. Think about what is best for you. There are individuals out there who can run 5K much faster than 10K, who can run a 10K faster than they can, in terms of pace, than a 15K or a half marathon or a full. They just can adjust, and they can run, let's just throw a number out there. So they can run a 5K at an 8-minute pace. They run a 10K at a 9-minute pace. They run a half marathon at a 10-minute pace. And they run a full marathon at an 11-minute pace. I'm just throwing those numbers out there. I don't know how one calculates how fast they should run a race. My feeling is that it depends. The speed at which you run, the pace at which you run, is dependent upon so many things. Number one, the actual course. You know, is it a hard course? Is it an easy course? Is there a lot of hills? Now, there are a lot of turns. Number two, the field. If you're running a race with a lot of people, then you probably aren't going to have that flexibility of doing certain things that you'd like to do. There are going to be times when you may not be able to run as fast as you would like to. So that's another factor in there. So from my perspective, Michelle, I think that every race is different and that every person is different. And during the course of that race, you decide how fast you're going to run. When you get to the point where you know you will be able to finish, maybe it's that point where you, as they say, put the hammer on it and run as fast as you can. But I really think that it's going to be up to the individual and the individual race how fast you go.
The other thing to consider, too, is what is your goal? Is your goal to run fast? Is your goal to enjoy yourself? Is your goal to increase your pace and your time so that you can move up to a faster corral? So I think that the goal dictates how you should be running those things.
In terms of Run Disney races, it's a little bit different. 5Ks are exactly what they're named. They're fun run 5Ks. So you're not thinking about trying to run too fast. The difference is with a Run Disney event is that you really want to enjoy it, so you may not run as fast as you possibly can. So that's another consideration.
A 10K time is potentially going to move your corral up for a Disney race, but a 5K time won't.
That's true.
Another thing to consider. Okay, next one.
So Randy Crane sends in a question. Actually, this was on Facebook, and I wanted to make sure that we put this in the show. And it's a very interesting question. Michelle will be very interested in it. It says, here's a different kind of question for you. I'm looking at the possibility of the Princess Half Marathon in 2015 as part of a Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise vacation. My thought is to do the Princess Half and then sail that day on the Magic from Port Canaveral. It looks like that should be a possibility. But do you see any risks or problems with this idea? I think there is one right off the bat, Michelle, but why don't you take it?
Well, I was going to say, I think it's very doable. So usually you can board the ship at about 1 o'clock. So if we start running at 6, you're done at 9:30 at the latest. Pop back to your hotel if you're all, your luggage will be ready to go onto the cruise. Take a shower, get a little something to eat, and you'll be ready to, I assume you're using Disney transportation. I think it usually leaves around 12 or so, 11:30 or 12. I think that you're going to be okay, and especially if you're taking your own transportation, you'll be okay. But Mike, what do you think the risk is?
Well, this is where I wish I had someone like Becky here to answer this question. Magical Express, the Disney Cruise Line, I'm guessing work from the same kind of formula. And that formula says, if your plane is taking off at a certain time, then we're going to pick you up 3 hours before. So if you use that algorithm, or whatever you want to call it, formula, if you have to be on the ship by 1 o'clock, then you would be leaving by 10 o'clock to me. And I'm not sure if that, I may be wrong.
But it's only an hour and 10 minutes from the Disney resorts to Port Canaveral.
I know. But, and which maybe that throws the wrench into my theory. But I don't know what the, I've never taken a Magical Express from, or a Disney Cruise Line bus from Walt Disney World to Port Canaveral. So if you have to, so my guess would be maybe it's 11 o'clock. So that's still too close for me, for my blood. But, that might
but
be a close.
Could you do it?
You possibly could. Mm-hmm. And maybe if we get a chance, we'll check with maybe one of the MEI agents can let us know exactly if they recommend that.
So. I think you definitely could do it. I think you would. It might be stressful, but you could do it, especially if you took your own car out there.
Well, it could be stressful. Here's the other thing. Well, I guess I was going to say, think about the Castaway Cay thing, Castaway Key, but that's after the marathon, which the marathon would be twice as long as a half. So this is a good question, Randy. We'll see what kind of answers come out from this. Michelle, we have one more question to do.
Okay, and this is from John Maloney. And he says, does anyone know of a decent fitness band or smartwatch that communicates with Runkeeper in real time? I see that the Pebble does, but it doesn't seem to show interval information. So, John, my answer is sort of yes and no. I saw that Runkeeper actually can connect with a Fitbit, but it doesn't, as far as I know, do it in real time. So I guess I'd like to put this on Facebook and have other people answer this question. I know that the new Garmin equivalent of Fitbit, which is called VitaFit, I think. Is that what it's called, Mike? Do you
Sounds
know?
Familiar.
Yeah. That doesn't have any connection at all. So I think Fitbit at this point is your best bet. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw software updates that help you with that really soon. Because, all these little fitness things are very popular, and Runkeeper is very popular, too. So we'll put that out to people on the Facebook page to see if they know the answer to that question. All that you're staying. Randy, it really depends on what hotel you're staying in. The latest schedule that I found online is that the bus leaves the Grand Floridian as early as 11:15, and the dolphin as late as 12:30. So it looks like most of the other times are 11:30, noon. So you could make it back from your, if you finish at 9:30, you could make it back at 10:30 and hop on a bus. You might be riding in sweaty running clothes, but if you want to do that, you can do that. There are other options too. You could take, you could hire a town car to do it. You could take your own rental car if you wanted to. That would save you some time, but it's definitely doable.
Definitely, definitely. And that will do it, definitely, for this edition of the Mickey Mouse Podcast, Question Edition. We thank everyone for all their questions, and we encourage everyone to send in any questions they may have, because the questions that you send in may be a question that many others may want to have answered as well. So, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road. The Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes. If you are looking for the highest quality vacation home or condo for your next vacation in Walt Disney World, then you need to visit www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new home. And by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, nobody, and I mean nobody, can give you better service and get more for your vacation dollar than the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. So for your next Disney or non-Disney vacation, your first stop should be to go to meitravel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. And we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.